I have a house with three daughters. I'm used to not being listened to. Memorial Day weekend. Anybody leaving town? Where are you going? Where? North Carolina? South Carolina. I'll tell you what. All right. Well, listen, we've got some announcements that we need to do before we get started. I'd like to make those first. All right, y'all, put your coffees away. Come on. Say, come on now. Get your coffee down. Come on back here. We got to preach. They just ignore me. I could stand on my head. They'd ignore me. Okay, we got some announcements. Does everybody have their bulletin? Good. Bulletins are good. Okay, here's some announcements. Let's start with a summer Bible camp. That's right. Are we going to give the good news to some children this summer? Absolutely. Thank you all for stepping up to the plate to do this because we didn't know. We didn't know if we were going to be able to do it, but we have enough volunteers. And if you signed up, we're really counting on you, all right? So there is going to be a meeting directly after service in the fourth and fifth grade classroom. That's upstairs. Upstairs, down hall. It's the big one in the end, okay? Right after church. So how many people volunteered to help out with the summer Bible stuff, okay? If you are one of those, after the service, go up into the end, and Corinne wants to have a meeting with you there. She's going to implant a device in your head so you don't get away. All right, next Sunday is a special day. Sean has been talking about this up to this point, but we're going to have the Get Connected service. Yeah! That's right. It's going to be awesome. You can't cheer louder than everybody else, Sean. That looks like you're setting it up. Okay. I'm going to just read this. The Get Connected service is a way to learn all about the Church of Whistling Pines and how we are organized. In the future, new attenders will be asked to attend a special meeting in order to become a member. However, since this is our first Get Connected service, we wanted everybody to have the opportunity to experience it. So we're going to do this as a group and as a body. All right, and it's going to be really a wonderful service. There's going to be a lot of stuff, a lot of information going on, but you're going to hopefully get a lot of your questions answered, and the great thing is you get to become an official member of the church. Up until this time, we could have kicked you out at any time. Now we have to follow procedure. We'll be sharing about church government, leadership structure, doctrines, values, expectations for membership, Sean's hairdo, and other things. There will also be an opportunity at the end to ask questions. We encourage everyone who calls WP, that's us, my church, to be here. The service will be a bit different. It's always a little bit different here, though, isn't it? That kind of keeps us on our toes. And a little longer than usual, snacks will be provided as well as an opportunity to stretch. So you're like, oh, man, just say eat a bigger breakfast. Okay, just eat a bigger breakfast. We'll let you out at the same time the Baptists get out. I'm serious. They get out a little bit later than us, like half an hour later. So you won't have the jump on the restaurants this time, so. Ministry confirmation. Join us during the special service on June 3rd as we ordain Corinne Obispo as a minister of the gospel. And we're going to set in and install Brenda Williams also as an elder of the church. So that's going to be a real wonderful time. And I'm looking forward to it. I have known Corinne for a long time, and I'll never forget when we did the transition over here and all that stuff. I remember asking her, I said, Corinne, you know, they don't have a really... we've got a lot of space up there, but it doesn't have the big ceilings, and it's not all open like you're used to here at the mall, you know. And she said this. She said, I would do children's church in the parking lot. And I said, really? Are you serious about that? Because maybe that's an option. She said, no. I'm saying I would if I had to. So she's just got God all over her. And it's been something that's been evident for a long time, so we are really excited about ordaining her. So we're looking forward to, and I hope that you all have a chance to enjoy that. Get Connected forms. This is the official Whistling Pines Get Connected form. If you have a pulse, please raise your hand. Who didn't raise their hand? Mike Reed, put your hand up. Thank you very much. If you have a pulse and you're above the age of 15, I don't know what it is, we really would like you to fill one of these out. Okay, we have got Power Church, we're putting all this information in, and we really need to get this information from you because this will go into the Book of Life. So, we want you to fill this out. These can be found where, again, Robert? The guest table at the front. Yep, so right at the front door you can get these.
A lot of people have already filled one out and don't need to do it again.
Yeah, please don't do it again. Yeah.
I won't ask you to put your hand up if you haven't filled one out. That's okay. If you haven't, we really encourage you to do this, because this is going to be really a real key for us to be able to begin plugging you into the church. All right? Good. All right, guys. Okay, this is for the men in the church. You guys remember Tim the Tool Man Taylor, right? Remember? Remember he'd go, hoo, hoo, hoo. So from this point forward, if we say, men of the church, I want everybody to go, no, the men to go, hoo, hoo. Okay, ready? Men of the church. That's right. You guys ready for a manly movie night? That's right. Okay. See, now we're down at the base level. Adam did this, by the way. When Eve gave him the fruit, he went, hoo, hoo. That's what he did. But maybe that was a mistake that he did that. Anyways, manly movie night is Saturday, June the 9th. Okay, we're going to have a great action movie that the women would not be interested. Please, ladies, don't show up. Don't show up. If you show up, we're kicking you out. That's as simple as that. This is our spot that night. And what's special about it? Do you guys remember what's special about it? Bring your own recliner. Okay? We're gonna move all this stuff out of the way, and we're going to set your recliners up. We're going to watch a movie. We're going to eat bad food. I mean, it's going to be good. It's going to be men. All right. Ooh. All right. I just want to make sure that you're all clear on that. The movie is yet to be determined. I'm leaning towards Born Free or... No, I'm just kidding. Where did Born Free come from? Remember that song? Born Free. That's really bad. It won't be a chick flick. Made in Manhattan or something. No, we won't do that. All right. Do you, any of you have Bibles? If you have a Bible, I'd like for you to open it up. I'm not going to spoon feed you this morning. I'm going to make you actually turn to some scripture. And if you don't, you'll just have to take my word for it. We have been going through the book of John, for those who are visitors. We've been going through the book of John. That's not my PowerPoint. Is there another one? Thank you. Good. I'd rather have mine, because that's the one I worked. We've been going through the book of John. And we are at a point where Jesus actually makes a statement that is the first time he makes this statement, and he uses a metaphor that we use all the time. And we are going to be doing communion together, by the way, because we're going to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is the bread of life, okay? So today, we're going to continue the conversations with John, and I've labeled this one the bread of life, appropriately so, because, of course, we are going to be talking about Jesus, the bread of life. The context of where we're at, by the way, just so you guys know, if you recall, in the last two weekends, we've talked about a couple of things. We talked about a couple stories. The first was the feeding of the 5,000. Remember that? Remember, he took the loaves and the fish and he multiplied it. And what was really, what Sean really pushed home there, what was so interesting about after everybody had been fed? Leftovers. Lots leftover. Overfilling. He didn't just barely squeak by and go, whew, glad we had enough. There was like baskets left over, okay? So we taught about that. Jesus did that miracle. Then what was his next miracle? Remember, the disciples were out in the boat. And who came walking across the water? Yeah, Jesus came walking across the water. And which of the disciples jumped out of the boat? That's right. And which disciple got wet? Peter, he got wet. So what happened is, at the end of that story, it says that immediately they were on the shore. And we know from this next passage that they were actually in Capernaum. So this is where we're picking up the story. And it's important that you know that context, because the people that are going to be talking to Jesus here are actually going to be talking to him about and using this concept of feed us. Feed us. So, let's start. Let's go straight to John 6:25. By the way, I'm electronic today. Aren't you guys proud of me? You're like, are you crazy? Nope. Okay. We're going to start in verse John 6. And we're going to go in 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? I really believe that that supports the fact that they were supernaturally taken from the middle of the lake over there, because they were kind of like, how'd you get here so quick type thing, right? So they said, how did you get here? And Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Jesus was the most discerning person there ever was. He knew why they were chasing him down. I mean, where else can you go and have 5,000 people together and get fed and cost you nothing? They had had the loaves and they had the fish, and they're like, hey, we're following this guy because he gets to feed us all the time. So Jesus sees through this. He sees through this. He knows they're thinking with their stomachs. By the way, how many people have ever fasted for a day? Keep your hands up. How many people have ever fasted for 2 days straight? How many people have ever fasted for 3 days straight? How about 4 days straight? Yeah. 5 days? Yeah. 40 days. Gotcha. Yeah, I'm watching you, Frank. You better take your... When you fast and you go without food, oh boy, everything tastes good. You would even eat eggplant. You get that hungry. Okay, so hunger is a driving force in our bodies, right? If we don't have it, we're going to feel it, and suddenly everything doesn't really get important. We want food, okay? If you've ever been really thirsty, it's the same way. You want water. So Jesus sees a teachable moment with these people. He really does. He says, I got a teachable moment here, and I'm going to teach them about the bread that I can give them this bread that they will never be hungry again. So he takes that teachable moment and jumps all over it. Do not work for food, verse 27, that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Wow. Now, you got to put yourself in the situation of these folks. They're sitting there and they just heard him. They're standing there and they're, where's our food? And he says this. And they still don't get it, just so you know. They don't get it. But he says this thing that really sounds appetizing to them. You know, he says, I'm going to give you the food that, don't work for the food that spoils, but the stuff that leads to eternal life. They're like, wow, this stuff must taste really good. Literally, I think they were looking for that. Because as we go on in the scripture, you find out they're still asking those questions. So look what he says. Or they answer him back in verse 28. What must we do to do the works God requires? The operative word there is, what do we do? If there's anything that you learn about the Jews in that time, they were so focused on works. Because that led to righteousness according to what they did. You had the Pharisees who were considered the righteous ones of the time, of the day. And these Pharisees, they not only did they just follow the letter of the law in the Old Testament, but they even created much more rules, many more rules. And those rules everybody had to follow. And the better you followed the rules, the more righteous you were. So it should not be surprising to us when they ask this question, hey, what are we supposed to do? And now Jesus has a definition. Oh, by the way, I want to go to this scripture here. This is a scripture in Galatians that talks about this whole struggle that the people who are following law went through. Galatians 3, 1 through 5, I just want to, and just so you know, the Galatians were being fooled by false teachers that tell them they had to do certain things, circumcision and all that stuff. You have to do these things. And this is what Paul says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. I love Paul when he says stuff like this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? If you cannot read a book that the Apostle Paul wrote and not realize that he is so many times fighting against the doctrine of law and the doctrine of works. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, meaning they receive Christ, his sacrifice, that you are now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit of works and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or hearing with faith? Listen, some of us are just as guilty as they are. We have a history in our country and in the Christian faith of starting to put down rules. We must follow rules. These rules equal righteousness. Maybe it was driven into your mind at your home or your church growing up. Maybe the church you were at last week. Rules. Following Christ should be something that comes out of the abundance of what's inside. You won't get there by just putting on a form. And that is exactly what Jesus was fighting against here when he's talking to these people in Capernaum. He's fighting against this because he knows that they don't get it. So going back to this in verse 30, they asked him, "What sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" Huh, they're challenging him. "Well, Jesus, what are you going to do? Give us a sign." And look what they say in verse 31. "Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." You almost could hear them mocking him. Say, "Well, okay, let's put your money where your mouth is, Jesus of Nazareth. What food are you going to give us? Because after all, our hero Moses, they had food in the desert. They had this manna." Now, I want to talk just quickly about manna for a second. Those of you who might not be familiar with the story, the Israelites are out in the middle of the Sinai Desert, and they're hungry. Remember we just talked about hunger? They're hungry. And they want food. So they start grumbling. The Israelites were excellent at grumbling. We've inherited that. It's wonderful. They start grumbling. They want food. They want food. And Moses says, "Lord, they need food." And the Lord says, "I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to provide manna from heaven. It's going to come down, and in the mornings they're going to go out and gather it, and they're going to use it and they eat it the rest of the day. But you can't keep any over, because if you do, it's going to rot." And he provided manna. And when it first started raining, do you think the Israelites were happy? "Oh, yeah. I got food falling from heaven. That's the nicest grocery store you ever need. Just walk outside and just start picking up stuff off the ground." And apparently it had everything they needed. All the nutrients. Don't you wish you could go to Publix and buy manna today? I bet it'd have everything you need. But what happened? That wasn't enough. The bread that these people are asking for, that they venerated, that they put this great thing on, they're now throwing back at Jesus and say, "Hey, our ancestors, they got manna in heaven. What are you going to give us?" And I love Jesus' response. Verse 32, he says, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." Oh, he hit him hard. Moses? Moses didn't give you the manna. God gave you the manna. And then he begins this metaphor of comparing himself to the manna. In verse 33, it says, "For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Yes, it does. He gives life. And you know, the metaphor of manna is really interesting because if you start going through, I love metaphors. So as you go through the metaphor, there's some definite parallels here. First, manna, it was sent by God. Jesus was sent by God. Manna saved the people of Israel, the children of Israel in the wilderness. Without it, they were going to die. In fact, I remember reading one part, they were grumbling and they were saying, "We could have been in Egypt and standing around the flesh pots, huge pots that the Egyptians would let them throw food in and meat in and make this big soup stew type stuff. They said, you took us away from the flesh pots of Egypt to let us die here in the wilderness." And he provided. He provided. Manna was physical food to give life. Jesus' sacrifice offers all of us everlasting life. Everlasting life. Manna was temporary. Salvation through Jesus is permanent. Manna would not last the night. In fact, some Israelites, of course, because they didn't believe him, they didn't believe what Moses said. They went ahead and stored some under their pillow. And in the morning, voila, maggots. And they, I guess it was terrible. And they had to, you know, of course, go out and get manna again. The metaphor of manna, I want you to remember that as we go through this, because Jesus is talking directly about that. So let's continue to pick it up in verse 34. So he's explaining this to them, and they say, "Sir, always give us this bread." Good response. Good response. They're actually now willing to take it. But I think they're still looking for a basket. They're still looking for a basket. In verse 35, then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life." They don't see no baskets. And he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Oh, boy. You want to think he kind of threw them off. This threw them off. Because the first time, he was saying that they needed to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. And it goes downhill from here, we'll talk. But this was the conclusion of the metaphor. This was the metaphor completed, and now they were looking at him, probably mouths hanging open. Because just when they thought they had it figured out, now he's sitting there saying, I'm the bread from heaven. I'm the bread from heaven. We're going to take corporate communion together. And I'm going to read a passage of scripture that talks about, of course, the when Jesus broke bread and of course, had the wine with his disciples. I'm going to ask our life group leaders, I've got four of them to come up and stand behind here. We're going to do it a little bit differently. We're actually going to have the life group leaders break the bread and put it in the bowl in front. And Bob, we already have some already picked out, Bob, so you don't need to, you're good for now, Bob. So basically, just for those who maybe are not familiar with communion and how communion works, we're going to be coming down and they're going to be breaking the bread. We're going to pray over it. But as you take of this bread, I want you to think about the manna. I want you to think about the fact that Jesus Christ is your bread, that he died and gave himself for your bread, for your life. He became everything you needed. He fills every desire. Let me read this in Luke. The book of Luke was the physician. So one of the great things about Luke is I'm just trying to find it here. You're all like, see, you shouldn't have used the electronic thing, Scott. I'll find it. There it is. Luke 22. I even used the bookmarks, but I can't find it. So here we go. Luke 22, verse 14. This is Jesus, and he's having this supper now with his disciples. And he gives instructions for what they're supposed to do and what we do then following that. Luke 22, 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat of it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks. Take this, divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And in verse 19, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you. You bow your heads with me and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus, our Savior, we thank you so much for what you did for us, that you are truly the bread of life. And as we take this communion now, as we come and we take the bread and we dip the bread into the wine, or in this case, the juice, Father, as we remember that, as we put it on our lips, help us never to forget the sacrifice that you've made. The sacrifice for us that without it we are lost and we are to be pitied among all men. Bless this. Bless each mind and heart as we take it, and help us to be in remembrance of what you've done for us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can go ahead and begin coming down, and they'll break the bread. Then you can just take a piece of the bread out of the middle bowl, dip it, and then you can take your seat.
This is the body, and this is the blood, broken and poured out for all of us. And in this communion, we share in his love. This is the body, and this is the blood.